there is nothing more trill. There's nothing more trill than a MySpace page. All right. That was like a little, what was that sound? That was like a, you just did that, ha-ha. What is that from? I think we have a soundbite like that. You know, here's the thing. We had Peter Carlin on the show yesterday. And by his own admission, he was a little cranky. But you see, even by Peter Carlin standards, he seemed a little just unhappy to be living, talking to us, speaking. And he said he had a head cold. And I actually emailed him. This is how insecure I am. I emailed him later, like last night, because I had sort of put it out of my mind. I had thought about it. Because Peter Carlin from The Oregonian came on yesterday to this, the Rick Emerson radio show. And he was just, it was like a lot of one-syllable answers. It was like that time I interviewed Henry Rollins. It was like, so, Henry, how's it feel to be a living legend and whatever?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, and you realize two sentences in that the whole interview, it's never going to get any better. But I was talking to Peter yesterday. He was on the show. And I'm like, so, Peter Carlin, da-da-da-da, you know, three trees, worst show ever. Tell me all about it. Well, it's bad. And then that was it. And he was saying that he had a head cold and that's why it was terrible. And I didn't think anything else about it. Until I got home and my wife said, so, is everything all right with Peter Carlin? Doesn't sound like he likes you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, no.
Who said that?
My wife.
Oh.
And then she's like, yeah, it sounds like he's really unhappy to be talking to you. And then she just sort of leaves the room. And so immediately I'm like, ah, crap. And so I had to go, you know, send him like a long, like, dear Peter, this is Rick. Is everything fine? He, hope it's just a head cold. Let me know. It's translation like, have I offended thee in some manner? Anyway, so he emails back, and I put as a P.S., just to show that I was keeping it wacky, I put as the P.S., I said, you know, the P.S., you can touch it, which, of course, is exactly where that soundbite comes from. And so we have that, let me see here, I think Scotty made an entire folder of Peter Carlin. So I put this as the closing on my email. It was like, so let me know if everything's okay, Peter. P.S., you can touch it.
You can touch it.
And so he emailed back and he's like, no, it's fine. I really just was. I was on all kinds of medication and I had a head cold and whatever. And then he asked, and I think I've actually got this here, where he asked me in this mail, he says, let's see, he says, no, it's just a head cold. Everything's fine. Should be back to normal by next week. By the way, in what context, I wonder, did I propose that you can touch it? Does anybody remember?
You could touch it.
And here's the thing.
I think it was about his book, or something along those lines.
I don't know, and I'm not saying that I have an answer. In no way do I have an answer to that.
Is he offended by that soundbite?
No, he's not. He was because I just said as a P.S. I'm like, so wanted to make sure everything was fine yesterday. You sound a little cranky. Have I offended thee in some fashion? Whatever.
Oh, you ended with an upswing.
And then I put like, P.S., you can touch it. You know, just sort of like to let him know that it's not all seriousness
that
here.
He
that
can
I
still touch you?
I still, yes. That I still have a sense of jocularity. And he...
How
he,
random would that email look if nobody gets the joke and you just write, P.S., you can touch it?
Yeah. Especially because, let me ask you this too. Do you ever exchange emails with someone, and I don't mean in a crude or sexual fashion, but just an email that contains sentences that... Do you ever email somebody and it's obvious they're emailing from their workplace and you're not saying anything, you aren't saying anything untoward, but they are, and you're sort of feeling awkward because they are clearly on their company email, like saying stuff that they shouldn't be. Not like you can touch it. How do I put this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you reminded me of this because you said how weird would that email of, you know, me emailing Peter Carlin saying, you can touch it. How, because it's...
I hope you're not mad at me. P.S., you can touch it.
see, I never put the two together.
Yeah.
I hope everything's okay, Peter. I hate for us to lose our connection. P.S., you can touch it. And it's his or it literally is like Peter Carlin whatever at Oregonian.com. And, well, because, I mean, you know, because you got to figure he plays by his own rules there, not unlike King.
I would figure they'd leave him alone.
But how bizarre would that look to just, you know, the IT guy who scans the email? I got an email yesterday, and I won't say from who, but from a person we know who works in radio who emailed me. And this person was...
Employed or not?
Yeah, employed.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm trying to illustrate my point that I got an email yesterday from a person we all know, who works in radio, employed, and this person was going on and on and on about how management was effed and how management was, you know, how this person just felt that management was on the brink of just destroying everything and just it was all going to go bad. And I looked at the return address, and I saw that this person was emailing me from their work.
Oh, that's not smart.
Whatever. It's everybody's free to do what they want.
No, I know, but you've got to watch your back.
It's just sort of like I never do anything like that.
For your Gmail account.
When I'm aligned CBS, I do it via Gmail. No, which I don't. But it's all very strange. Anyway, but Peter Carlin had said...
May I ask, where was the employee not in this building? It wasn't from our company?
Well, I don't want to narrow down anything for anybody.
Okay.
Not a CBS employee.
Okay.
Okay, I'll say that. Not a CBS employee. Anywho, so Peter Carlin had asked in his email, he's like, does anybody even remember the context in which I said, you can touch it? And the answer is no. No, I don't. In no way do I remember the context. And there's a whole lot of things here that I don't remember the context of. Like we've talked about that one promo where Sarah is saying, I have the bad girl vibe that he craves. And I have no idea.
I cannot believe that I would say that.
But it clearly, you listen to the promo, we're not making it up. It's obviously not a gag. It's something you really said. I have no idea where so many of these came from. So it's not just that you can touch it. Let's see, what else do we have here? And by the way, these are just the Peter Carlin ones. So we have like the, let's see.
Yo, boy.
Like that.
I have no idea.
I have,
God, hang up now.
See?
Well, that's every time.
Super sensitive guy.
Let's see.
What I'm trying to keep it is Trill.
Well, there's that one.
Imagine a young Rick Emerson sitting there having these kind of primal moments.
There's just a whole bunch of things that don't make any sense at all. And the one that we've talked about a lot, of course, is the...
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
And I have no idea why Peter Carlin, who is the television critic for The Oregonian, who is a sophisticated former New Yorker who worked for People magazine.
And he's also a published author now.
A published author and father of one, I think, or five or something.
I just remember that cute little girl who used to come visit.
Yeah.
I think just one.
A father of one, a happily married husband, would ever say, bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
It's like from what, this is not a bit I'm leading up to, by the way. This is not leading up to some kooky radio bit that I've, you know, and so because of that, let me now do this. This is apropos of nothing. I just have no idea where some of these things come from. And Scotty really is just like a lobster man over there. He just hangs the trap off the side and just skims these sound bites as they go through. And I have no idea from whence they derive. It's all very puzzling. All right, let us talk about Rockstar Supernova. We'll do that. We'll break here at the bottom. We'll come back with Tim Riley in the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we have Dennis Pitzenbarger, Jim Roop from Los Angeles, and we got to talk about the superhero stuff. Oh, we got to talk about this MySpace woman, too. Don't let me forget about that. But I got to talk about this Rockstar Supernova thing tonight, because tonight's episode is the one that I was at the taping of. So let me find my notes on this. So these are all my observations and notes about the taping of Rockstar Supernova, which I went to on Sunday. And again, people have asked us, you know, they asked us in advance if we were going to be talking about this. One storm got kicked off, you know, once everything was finalized. And, you know, obviously we've just invested so much of our life in this, like 15 weeks, that we got to see it through tonight and tomorrow. So it's weird to think, actually, within 36 hours, the whole thing will be done. It'll be finished. And so I'm making my prediction right now that it ends up being Lucas. And that's not based on anything I saw. That's simply based on the fact that I think that it can't be Delana, and Lucas is the other one that they just praised.
And you don't
praised.
Feel like it could be Toby?
Toby, I would not. It wouldn't stun me if it was Toby. But here's the thing. Here's my prediction about this. And then I'll give my notes about it. My thing is this. I think Lucas is the guy that they've had their eye on for many, many weeks now. If it ends up being Toby, it is a recent change. In other words, Toby might have been so strong the last few weeks that maybe they changed their game plan. But I believe the game plan is Lucas. That's what I believe. And that's why I think Storm got kicked off. Because I think they had to keep Delana because she's kind of like a Zaira. She's just such a drama queen and stirs people up. And she's like a, you know, she's like a three-legged pony or something. She's a thingy go see at this. She's a freak show. And so that's why they got to keep her. And Lucas is a great singer and has a rock vibe. So when it's that combination of bottom three that got Storm kicked off because they couldn't lose either of the other two. Anyway, let's see. So here's just my notes that I made to myself during the taping of Rockstar Supernova. And by the way, I got to say this. Susan Reynolds, I was talking to her because she is the one who set us up with the ticket, so I got to thank her for that. She asked if it was exciting, and here's the thing, it wasn't. And it was all the cliches you hear about how it seems so much bigger on TV and the camera adds 10 pounds. All of that stuff is true. But, you know, here's the other thing. At no point during the Rockstar Supernova taping on Sunday, it never felt like a rock show, ever. I mean, and it's a tiny venue. I mean, it's smaller than the Roseland. And we were right by the stage. We were like 10 feet from the stage. And it never, ever felt like a rock and roll show. And maybe that's because of the performances. Maybe it's because Storm was gone, and that's the only one we were really invested in. But it just, it was kind of boring. I hate to say that. It was just sort of, because we flew all the way to L.A. for it. But, I mean, it was just not very exciting. It never felt like you were seeing a rock performance. It felt like you were watching a not terribly interesting TV show being taped. I will be curious tonight to see if it looks different, if it feels more exciting on television, which is a strange thing to think, because in person it just wasn't exciting at all. So here's the strange thing. At the very beginning of the show, they had us do a bunch of, what do you call it? Cutaways, but they had us do a bunch of isolated noises. Like they had us all clap. And then they had us all scream, and I mean, this is when...
Did they make you sway your arms back and forth at any point?
They didn't make us do it, like, as an isolated instance. What is the term I'm looking for in broadcasting? Like B-roll stuff, though, where they have you just do a bunch of generic responses in case they need them later, or in case they need, oh, we need an extra shot of people clapping. You know, so they'll make you run through just like a monkey and, and just do a bunch of crap. They didn't make us sway, but they did tell us... They didn't make us sway, like, in advance, but they did tell us... Look, if it's a rocker, pump your fists, and if it's a slow song, everybody in the front, you got to sway back and forth. So when we've been wondering why everybody on that show has done that stupid "We Are the World" swaying back and forth,
look, it kicked out, right?
It's because they tell you to do it, and there are and to the surprise of no one, I think, during the Rockstar Supernova taping, there were these camera guys like stagehands and producers with headsets on, walking through the crowd, and if you weren't clapping, if you were dull, they would yank you and stick you way in the back, and if you were like a hot chick, they would grab you and stick you down front. They were totally finding the hot girls, so it's no coincidence that the front of the stage is just ringed with like 17-year-old girls.
That's why they kept moving us on MTV, because my friend Jenny is obviously a lesbian, and I think they thought that we were lesbian couple, so they kept moving us together, like right behind, you know, anybody who was speaking, actually right behind Katie Holmes, because right. She was the guest that day.
Well, and yeah, and there was a lot of that going on too, where it was a lot of like you there with the visible scar, move to the back, and then they would get some like perky 17-year-old to move to the front. At one point, one of the things they had us do at the beginning, they had us clap, they had us cheer, and then they had us do this weird thing, and I'll be curious to see if this makes it into the show tonight. They had us do several takes of just women booing. I don't know why. Not men. He was like, I want all the girls to boo as though you've just heard something really catty. And he never explained why, but they had to do it like three different times. And
well, if it's girls, then it has to be Delana saying something, because girls, you know, need to scorn girls.
But that was before the show had even taped. It's before anything had started.
We know that it's manipulated.
I'm not saying it's not. Okay, I'm not denying that. I know it's manipulated.
That's
weird,
though.
But it makes you wonder... Like, how far in advance and how specifically is it manipulated? In other words, I know that it's all, the outcome of a lot of stuff is predetermined and whatever, but I mean, it's like, what, it's just bizarre, like, what were they planning that they were require several takes of just girls in the audience booing? And this is a good 40 minutes before the show even started taping. It's very weird.
All right, so tell me more things, because I have to tell you, I'm really not excited for the show tonight.
No, I gotta get through these notes, though.
No, I want to hear your notes, so that way I know what to look for.
Let's see. So Paula Abdul was there, and was limping and hobbling. Okay, so here's another thing. So Ryan gets the encore.
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah. But not anybody cares at this point. They don't involve Storm.
That's true.
Ryan Starr gets the encore, and the word on the street, the rumor is that they're doing that to placate him, because I guess there was a computer glitch with Ryan's voting a couple weeks ago. The week he got kicked off, I guess there was a computer glitch where you couldn't vote for him. And so apparently the word is, because Mark Burnett got sued really badly after the first season of Survivor by a contestant. How dumb is this? The first season of Survivor, one of the contestants was a lawyer. Hello. Of all the people you would never cast on a reality show, I would think a lawyer would be at the top of the list. So Mark Burnett apparently got sued by a woman on season one of Survivor who was a lawyer. And he got screwed really badly, and he's always been really gun-shy about it since then. Apparently, the week that Ryan got kicked off, there was some phone anomaly where you couldn't vote for him. And he's trying to head off a lawsuit by giving Ryan a car. And by pushing his record album, which is they're really pimping on the website.
Wow.
So it's great because they give him a Honda Element. So Ryan comes out, they give him the Honda Element, and there's this huge cluster F. It's like a snafu where it takes 25 minutes to move in the car, and then they got to do three different takes of them giving him the car, and they're gonna do, Ryan, we've got a big surprise for you tonight, the shock of your life. And it's like every time he's doing it, it's like he's having to summon up more and more like fake shock that he's getting the car, none of which is convincing at all.
I totally like that guy.
So he's a cool guy. It was a great song. I love that song of his, too.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see him getting the car tonight, realize that he spent 25 minutes watching them roll the car into the studio audience. At one point, going over a guy's foot, by the way. And then they did three takes of him having to react to it. Well, let's see. Other notes here. This is just notes I made to myself. Supernova equals sweetest gig ever. Yeah, so it took 2.5 hours to tape this 44-minute show. The Supernova guys, Jason Newsted, Gilby Clark, Dave Navarro, Tommy Lee, they probably did like about 4 minutes of actual work. I mean, because it's... because they would leave the stage every time there was a changeover, every time there was a set dressing. During the actual performances, they didn't really pay a lot of attention. And then all they would have to do at the end is go, you crushed it, you rocked it. Whatever. That's it.
Was there any negative commentary toward any of the performances?
Tommy Lee didn't like Magny's original song, said it was boring and unmemorable,
which I agree.
Mark Burnett was there, I think. I'd like to know what he looks like. He was sort of a big, chunky, like sort of a thinner Bruce Valanche. So I think that was Mark Burnett. He was there. Let's see. Storm's Peeps, I talked about that. Gilby's hair is hella fake. Paula Abdul is gimpy. Yeah. A lot of these I thought to be yesterday. The studio audience does the first tally with those paper ballots, the ballots they gave us. Oh, audience equals geezers. The whole audience, I would estimate the average age of an attendee at Rockstar Supernova to be over the age of 35.
Huh.
It's deceiving because, again, it's all the young girls in the front row. But I would imagine that they were all at my age or older. Probably older. But all the really old people, I think on television, they don't ever show the balcony. It's like a...
They do every once in a while, because I remember Storm waved to it a couple times.
The balcony's all old people. It's like nothing but exposed scalp and gray hair up there. Let's see. Brooke Burke has a cascade of fake hair. And then I have one more observation about tonight, and then we'll break. And we'll come back. We'll do that with Tim Riley, etc. One more observation, which is this. That at one point last night, or on Sunday, and I'll be curious to see if it makes it into the show tonight, there's this awkward moment where Magny is performing backing up Toby, and they do this scripted moment where Magny, sort of like a king and a squire, Magny sort of gets down on his knees and holds up the guitar and gives the guitar to Toby, sort of like a, here is your guitar, sir, like you're handing the sword to the king or something, kneels. And Tommy Lee made a little bit of a joke about it later because he noted that from the back camera angle, it looks as though Magny is perhaps preparing to perform an intimate act.
Ah, giving him another special gift.
Yeah, yes, yes. So after, in the recap, Tommy Lee is known, he's like, dude, you got to watch out for camera angles, because from back here, it looked like you were getting ready to do something else with Toby. Ha, ha, ha. And then Toby says, without even thinking, he says, yeah, I don't want to come out of the closet. And then there's sort of a, oh, oh, oh. And everybody sort of pauses. And then Toby swears. He swore. He said, O.S. He goes, I hope you cut that out.
So he is gay.
I didn't say that.
But you've heard it.
I've heard the rumor.
It's a rumor. It's a rumor.
All I'm saying is,
I accidentally slip up and say I'm gay all the time.
Scotty.
Seriously, come on.
All I'm telling you is, that's what happened at the taping.
That's awesome.
That's all I'm telling you. So,
no, any guy who has to surround himself with women like that and is always like, hey, ladies, that's overcompensation. It was just bad.
He is a very chiseled man. He does have a very firm physique.
Does spend a lot of time at the gym.
So anyway, So that he did. So I'll be curious whether it'll be very telling whether they cut that out or not, I think. Because it, his,
so the, this is like when they were filming with the film instead of like the regular television cameras.
No, because nobody sang with Supernova.
Okay, no, but I'm saying that was the telling moment whether or not Donna
totally
won.
Exactly. But yeah, he said it, and then he immediately swore. He's all, oh, oh, S, yeah, cut that out. So anyway, well, so there you go. Okay, let's take a break here. We'll come back. We got Tim Riley at the City Desk later on. We have the top five. We have Jim Roop coming up later on. We got Dennis Pitzenbarger. We'll talk about superhero stuff. The commercial that has puzzled a nation. What else? Well, all this other stuff here, too. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. You stay right there, kids. Oh, hello. Hi there. Okay. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, you haven't told us the important thing. Is your pasty white face going to be visible on television? Here's the thing. They use multiple cameras when they do the Rockstar Supernova thing. So, and I made it a point during all of Delana's performances never to clap. I vowed that at no point would I be caught on film applauding for anything Delana did. The only time I think I will be visible on the camera at one moment, and it's when she's introducing Magni. Because to the best of my knowledge, she was hard to explain, but she was in a place on the stage, in a place on the set, where I believe there was only one camera that could have caught her, because there were no other cameras there. So when she's introducing Magni, you'll hear this, she goes, singing the Deep Purple classic, Hush, this is Magni. Look behind her and to the right, and I believe you will see my balding, pasty visage. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Still coming up. We got Dennis Pitzenbarger, Jim Roop. We'll talk about the MySpace. Are you altering your MySpace top eight?
Yeah, I was taking out all the Delana and, like, all the Bulltop Park characters. Yeah.
Because it's a thing of the past.
It's true.
It's weird to think that in 36 hours the whole thing is going to be over. So,
unless they're lying and they drag it out another week.
Yeah, that'll be successful. That'll be a big ratings hit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's make way for Tim Riley at the City Desk.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Let's begin now with the Britney Watch. Oh.
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 I think I did it again.
Genius.
Yes, she did it again. Britney Spears gave birth to her second son early this morning, that according to the Inquirer and Us Weekly.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm sorry, never mind. Go ahead, read. I'm doing that thing again where I jump in after like three words.
No. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, this is according to the Inquirer that she got her baby this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we didn't get to it on Friday. Friday was a very peculiar day, what with Scotty J reading the news and so forth. But on Friday, somebody sent me a numerous story saying that she had snuck in and had a secret C-section. Isn't this the second C-section she's had? What is the deal with having... I don't... Okay, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Well, let's stop here.
That's why a lot of...
That was just the most insubstantial 10 seconds.
Well,
okay.
You know, I mean, I've read rumor. You know, you read rumors on the internet about why women have C-sections.
Okay, well, a C-section...
Just some women, not all women.
And again, I know this sounds stupid, but correct me if I'm wrong, because I am a man, and I've not had any chillins. So, a C-section... is where they literally just cut you open, take the baby out, sew you back up,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's my mother had two.
All right, and so
me and my sister.
I read a big article in kind of the New York Times or something, or the Boston Globe or whatever, some paper a while back about how sociologists thought that was a disturbing trend and so forth because they're like it shows that, and they were trying to paint it as some sort of like these women were lazy, like they just don't care enough to go through the pain of childbirth. It's like, why would you?
No, if I desired to have children, I would want that thing cut out of me.
If you,
I would much rather have that than all the ripping and tearing and never growing back.
Oh, what did Don Geronimo say about about Tatum O'Neal and stretched out like a tennis racket. And then, you know, sometimes, you know what it is? Wait, didn't Jolie make this observation at one point? It's like when you have a sweater and it's on a hanger. And sometimes you go to pull that sweater off the hanger, and you don't quite hook it around quite enough, and it just, you pull the collar right over the hanger, and it just stretches the collar of that sweater all the way out,
and it never springs back.
I don't care how hot you wash it, how hot you dry it.
Mm-hmm. How many exercises you do to try and repair it?
It's just hideous. So, so the word is that she, but then it leaves a big scar, doesn't it?
No, what's, I guess, like, pretty low. It's down there.
But, I mean, it's got to be a baby-sized scar.
Well, babies are small.
A regulation-sized scar. Oh, God, never mind. Okay, anyway, so Britney Spears.
Well, the baby's arrival came 2 days short of the first birthday of Spears and husband Kevin Federline's first son, Sean Preston. Rumors are swirling around celebrity blog sites that Spears planned to have the birth induced on Thursday so the siblings could share the same birthday.
Well, that, okay, not to be hideous. What were you going to say, by the way, about C-sections? Because here's the thing. Here's what you started to say when we were talking about C-section versus natural birth. You said something like, that's what women do if they have, and then you just sort of pointed down.
All right. So I read celebrity blog rumor things, whatever.
Yes.
If you have a sexually transmitted disease, then you can't sometimes have a baby down there.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And well, and then okay, and then there's the
that's
other.
That's why, like, Paris Hilton will never be doing the birth and through the.
Well, and then there's
downstairs.
And then there's all the, and as you said, the rending and the. Never mind. I don't want to talk about it, but I'm just gonna say that I knew. How do I put this? I had a guy who was dating a girl. And she had had. She was a very small woman, and had some very large children, and he had spent the evening with her in a biblical fashion. And he actually noted, he's like, dude, he's like, I'm so glad I'm not a woman. And I'm like, why is that? And he said, there are places that tear that you didn't know could tear.
Oh, God.
And I said, what are you talking about? And
no!
And here's what he said. here's what he said. He said, because you always heard that story about Stevie Nicks doing cocaine. And how you have two nostrils, but if you do enough cocaine, what is that, your septum? Is that what that's called?
Deviated septum.
He's like, if you have two nostrils and you do enough cocaine, eventually that thing just disintegrates and you have one big nostril. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So it was sort of like a two became one, and the miracle of stitching became two again. Bam! All right, here's Tim. Are we done with the Britney?
That is the Britney watch.
More worst Britney watch ever.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
See, my problem is this.
I'm sorry, it just makes me laugh. Oh, God. Let's all cross our legs and keep them crossed forever. Yeah, screw that. I would never have kids. I don't get... You know what it is? I am about that the way I am about dental work. Because, they, you know, it's like they don't want to give you the... They don't want to give you the gas sometimes. Because they're like, well, you know, every time you're put unconscious, there's a chance you'll die. I don't care. It's worth the risk. Here's Tim Riley.
Valium is cheaper.
That's... Or just anything. Yeah. Just doesn't matter. Just load me. I don't care how unsafe it is. I can't take the pain.
Meanwhile, the Girls Gone Wild fellas have cut a plea bargain. The Santa Monica-based company failed to maintain age and identity documents for performers in sexually explicit films. The company responsible for the successful Girls Gone Wild series of videos has pled guilty to violating a federal law designed to prevent the sexual exploitation of children.
Bam.
The Girls Gone Wild series is based on young women exposing themselves during the frenzy of spring break and other times in hot locales. There's binge drinking, hookups, and frantic exhibitionism. By packaging and dispersing the video, people close to this company told the LA Times recently the company does as much as $40 million a year in sales.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, that guy's a true... He's one of those,
Joe Francis?
True American heroes. Yeah, that guy started that whole thing with a credit card and a handy cam. And, you know, I mean, it's... It really is just such an obvious idea. You really do wonder why it took, you know, 50 years for the Girls Gone Wild series to exist. It really is just, it's so simple and so brilliant. Rick, this email says, don't forget Mark Burnett has had 3 days to edit you out and put in Jar Jar Binks. Ha ha. Let's see, what else here? See, here, you know what I'm getting? There's all kinds of unpleasant emails about Britney Spears and about all kinds of restorative techniques that I don't really need to hear about. Although I will say this, if she had both kids via C-section, that does explain, by the way, how she, because we had asked the magical question, because the kids are only like 10 months apart, right, or 11 months, and we had asked how it was possible that you could have a child and then just be getting busy again, as Humpty Hump once said, fast enough. But this explains it all. By the way, let's see, Richard has emailed and said, once you've had a C-section, he said you can't do it any other way. He said because it creates a...
like a scar or something?
A structural weakness.
Okay.
So he said that once you have a C-section, you can never go back. So there you go. All right, here's Tim Riley. Good God.
Time for a Whitney watch.
So unpleasant. What kind of a world is it where the Whitney watch is a pleasant relief?
Hello!
Fantastic.
Whitney Houston is to start working a new album after a 3-year breakdown from music. Break from music, whatever. Over the past few years, the singer has been seen on husband Bobby Brown's show, Being Bobby Brown, and hit the headlines after checking into rehab for help with a so-called drug addiction.
So-called.
And didn't record any new material. She appears to be ready to make a comeback, although it seems fans will not have to worry about her drastically reinventing herself or trying to write her own song.
Thank God.
Clive Davis, the owner of J Records, says, Whitney doesn't write. It's a gift. Either you have it or you don't. She doesn't have that gift. I've seen more artists lose a career while we're trying to do that. Ella Fitzgerald didn't write. Linda Horne didn't write. And he added, Whitney is Whitney. And Whitney is Whitney. And it ain't like her. It'll be Whitney.
So I'm
that's from his press people.
Let me understand. So, it's Whitney.
It's Whitney.
Yeah, okay.
There ain't nobody like her. It'll be Whitney. It won't be something reaching for a current trend, that's for sure. It'll just be Whitney.
Okay, so there you go. I think, by the way, I think I speak for everyone. I say that as a nation, we're beyond caring. I think that, but the peak time for Whitney to have done her comeback was about, it was right after the drug thing. It's now too late. No one cares. This is going to be like that Jackson album, Invincible, that came out that just sort of escaped. All right, there's your Whitney. Thank you. Here's Tim Riley. Good God.
Jessica Simpson can't find love because she scares guys away.
I wish they would just... Jessica Simpson can't find love because she's lantern-jawed.
The Dukes of Hazzard actress has been linked to a string of suitors since her divorce from Nick Lachey. However, none of the relationships have worked out. She told Ellen DeGeneres, I think I'm too hard to be in love with. It ends up on the cover of every magazine. I scare people away.
Man, have you seen the cover? Is it People This Week or Us Weekly, where it's with the dumped headline? That is the worst picture.
Us.
That is the worst picture ever taken of a celebrity. That's if you were a celebrity, and if you've seen Us Weekly this week with the cover with Jessica Simpson, you know what I'm talking about. If you are a celebrity or a PR person, that is the kind of photo that you pray doesn't get taken of you, where she just looks all bug-eyed and crazy. I mean, she really does look as though she is just. What they used to say, bat-ass nutty. I mean, just really unbelievably kooky.
She says, I scare people away. I'm a lot to take on. I wish I was in love. I need to be in love. Jessica's only recently linked romance is to singer-songwriter John Mayer. However, that fling only lasted a matter of days. Jessica also reveals she has no regrets about ending her 3-year marriage to Rick. She explained, I am so proud of that relationship.
Well, you know.
That I was in, I am proud of the marriage that I had, and I think Nick is an amazing man.
Yeah, see, you know, here's what it is. You remember how...
She was just making fun of his small penis.
Seriously, just a couple days ago, he's got nothing in the pants. And that, you know what it is? She knows this is like Heather Mills.
She messed up.
She knows that she put her foot right in it, and the public is turning on her like a saber-toothed tiger. And so she's desperately trying to do the, I wish him all the best. That's, she's trying to pull her foot out of that huge muck hole that she put it into. Not a good move, sister. Not a good move.
I regret nothing, and it made me what I am now. Right now, who I am so in love with. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, okay.
I am so happy to be who I am. It's all about the journey. She added, during the beginning of making the record, I was married. I was writing love songs. After going through an emotional time, I needed to have some fun. I go out with my girls and shake my booty.
Okay. Okay, there you go. Have fun with that. I'm just looking at these. I don't really even know that I want to... All right, hold on. Let me just take this. Jeff... You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Let me ask you this before you even begin to speak.
All right.
Do I want to know about any of this?
It's medical.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing. That always indicates that it's something bad. Here's what it says on the screen, just so you know.
Yes.
It says Jeff, and then it says birth, ripping and tearing.
Nice.
I suspect I don't really want to hear about this. Just,
so there's a procedure to keep in a little more control of straight lines and such, where they snip, and it's called an episiotomy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I'm so glad I'm not a woman. Okay.
No, there you have it.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. That's...
Be so glad you're not a woman who chooses to birth.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm a woman. I don't have to worry about snipping.
Never mind. I'm just going to move on. All right. Let's see. Let's do, select one more here, and then we'll do some other stuff. We'll break here.
Where you live combined with race and income plays a huge role in the nation's health disparities. Difference is so stark that a report issued today contends it's as if there are 8 separate Americas instead of one. Asian Americans living in Bergen County, New Jersey, lead the nation in longevity, typically reaching their 91st birthdays. Worse off are American Indian men in swaths of South Dakota who die at age of 58, 3 decades sooner. Health disparities are widely considered an issue of minorities in the poor, being unable to find and afford good medical care. The county-by-county comparison of life expectancy shows that the problem is far more complex, and geography plays a crucial role. Consider this. The longest-living whites weren't the most relatively wealthy. Most of them live in middle America. They're edged out by low-income residents of rural northern plain states, where the men tend to reach the age of 76, and the women are 82.
I think it just feels like you're living a lot longer if you live in, Iowa. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right, well, let's do the... Somebody sent me the audio from Storm on Ellen yesterday, which I did not see. So we probably won't play the whole thing here, but this is, somebody sent me, this is a Storm Largest appearance on Ellen, and they said that Ellen was quite clearly in love, with Storm. I'm gonna read a couple of these emails that I got here. This is from a woman, by the way. Rick, Ellen yesterday seemed very, very, very attracted to Storm. Or was it just me being attracted to the idea of Ellen and Storm being attracted to each other? Anyway, I thought you'd like to see it. That's from Deborah, who sent that along there. Let's see. God, why am I... It's a lot of emails containing the phrase, screw you, in the headline. I don't even know what these are about.
Why?
I don't know.
What have you done to anger?
I have no idea. A lot of, did you see Storm and Ellen? Ellen is clearly Storm's biggest fan, blah, blah, blah. You've gotta watch this. What about the MySpace? What about the MySpace girl? We gotta get back to that as well. Alright, well, let me play a little bit of this. Where do we go? All right, this is a little bit of Storm on Ellen yesterday.
Addicted to the reality show Rockstar Supernova, and our next guest was one of my favorite contestants. Here's why.
And Storm is, and she's wearing her Stuff for Jet City outfit. It's that. It's like that. It's the hat and the black vest
yeah,
thing.
Storm is Large is your real name. It's not. It sounds like just a famous name all
I know.
Own.
I know. It's. I wish it was an exciting story. It's not. My mom had a friend down the street named Stormy, and I guess she was on a lot
didn't
of demo when I was born, and she didn't consider the last name and the years of ridicule. And, so, but it works for me now.
Right. So you were definitely different than your friend down the street, Stormy and Storm. That was a big difference.
Big difference. Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't tell.
Okay. Two observations here. And by the way, you can find this on YouTube. It's where this is coming from. This is YouTube. This is Storm Large and Ellen DeGeneres yesterday. Two things. A, I forgot about this actually until just now, that I actually knew a girl named Stormy when I was younger. So I guess maybe it's a more common name than we kind of knew about.
I had a friend named Stormy in college.
Secondly, it's not that Storm doesn't look good here, because she does. She, you know, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman. You know, she always looks very good. She's got a great vibe to her and whatnot. But how do I put this? If I looked at, if I did not know who Storm Large was, or if you didn't, and if I showed you Storm on Ellen right here, which is where, again, she's wearing that black vest with nothing underneath it, and like the black pants, and then a black, it's not like a pork pie hat, but it's like a, well, I guess it sort of is. It's like a fedora. If I pointed Storm out here and told you that this was a really hot-looking gay woman, you would completely believe it. Because her hair's all tucked up inside.
She kind of looks like a Portia de Rossi.
She does indeed. Hey, I never really thought about that. Kind of a more muscular Portia
yeah,
de Rossi.
Yeah, I mean, that could be Portia de Rossi wearing that hat, because like you can't really see her hair. And
like Portia kind of went as a bad girl for Halloween. Mm-hmm. So Storm does have a sort of androgynous look right here, because she's got the hat and her hair is all up. So if I told you this is a really hot lesbian, you'd totally believe me.
All right, yeah.
And Large is your last name.
Large.
And you were 6 foot, by what age?
By four and a half.
No.
I was a big girl, grew really fast. Uh-huh. I was probably about 6 foot around 13.
Wow.
Yeah, I was real big.
So did you get teased a lot for that and the last name Large?
You know, you think?
I think
kids today, man, if you have one earlobe bigger than another earlobe, they'll ruin you. But
so. But it builds character, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
No, I'm saying that because a lot of kids out there get teased for for their names, for different things, and mm-hmm. and look at what you do now. That's good.
It is very good.
Yeah.
Being different is very good.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
The more you know.
So, did you find it, I mean, what was, I was surprised to hear how early it taped, but what's the hardest thing about doing that show?
You know, I thought being in front of millions of people singing was going to be really challenging and hard, but actually, Ellen, the hardest thing was wearing high heels.
Really?
The stylist, I mean, look at me, this is me, comfortable, yay, me, comfortable, I could get up, I can rock, I could do anything, but the high heels nearly killed me. They really wanted me to try, they being the stylist on the uh-huh. show, wanted me to try, oh, you're so beautiful, you should, you know, wear this, try these shoes. Ow!
Yeah.
Ow!
Exactly. There's no need for it.
So I was screaming because I was in pain.
I see. It wasn't really.
It wasn't. The
okay.
Right.
I want to note, by the way. So we're watching this Storm Large on the Ellen DeGeneres show here, and I dig Ellen. I really do. We're big fans of her. I think she's funny and great and all that. But it is somebody noted. In fact, several people said that she sort of makes eyes at Storm all the way through this. I don't know that she's sort of making eyes. But I will note this, and I don't know if this is just something Ellen does, but I will notice that her mouth seems to be hanging open an awful lot during this interview.
She just seems a little nervous.
Storm will be... Storm's like 100 feet tall, and looks like she could punch her way right through your face. Ellen's talking to her, and during a lot of Storm's answers, Ellen is literally just sitting there with her mouth like a good 2 inches open.
Oh, she was like, ah!
And you sang Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here when
yes.
you were on the show, which you said at the end.
It was from my mother, yeah.
Uh-huh.
My mother, the whole album Wish You Were Here was dedicated to Syd Barrett, who used to be in Pink Floyd, but he lost his mind. And my mother was mentally ill all my life and died unexpectedly a year and a half ago and didn't get to live to see me have my big moment. And so before I left the show, I could have done a big bravado thing and crazy jump in the audience, you know, thing. But I wanted to pay homage, and if I was going out, I wanted to go out with something for her.
Wow, that was really touching. I didn't know that, and you know, it was cool that you didn't say it beforehand. You said it afterwards. That yeah, because
I tried not. I tried because technically you start crying
right
when you're singing. You're like. you know, when you're talking, you're like, I'm just releasing this.
Yeah.
People lose their voice.
Right.
So technically, I didn't get to see the show. Did it sound okay?
Yeah, it sounded great. It sounded fantastic. Awesome. All right. Your pianist over there, Paul, is there. So
Paul from Fabulous House Band.
Yeah. The great
this guy, by the way.
Fantastic.
This guy, Paul, who's...
Supernova will be going on tour with the house band.
With this guy who is the keyboardist for the house band is fantastic. And you can tell he's the guy who leads the whole band. You can tell he's just the guy who holds it all together. And he's the one who was constantly criticizing DeLana, too. Every time you saw a guy from the house band criticizing DeLana's choice or criticizing an arrangement, it was always him. And you can tell it's because he kind of knows what he's talking about. All right, so I'll tell you what. We'll play a little bit of this into the break. We'll come back after this with CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbarger, etc. Here's Storm Large performing at Ellen yesterday. Don't go anywhere. Back after this on the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
I've paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my share of sentence.